Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, August 17th, 2016, episode 12.04, the preseason week 2 show. Well, people, I'm not sure Hard Knocks is painting a pretty picture of the Los Angeles Rams. I'll tell you why. The NFL is threatening to suspend several players accused in the Al Jazeera story. And I'm going to rant on the NFL, because that, my friends, is stupid. Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians spends the night in the hospital in San Diego. I'll tell you why he had to do that. Some media outlets are pretty stupid for even considering that the Cowboys have a quarterback controversy because of what Dak Prescott did in the preseason. Ridiculous. And a kicker was suspended for one game. Kickers. They can't even get suspended properly. I'll talk about that. Plus, I'll examine some of the best action coming up in week 2 of the preseason and what you should look for. And in our producer segment, I'll take a look if the 49ers have any hope after week 1 of the preseason. And should Chip Kelly name a starting quarterback now? Maybe something to ponder. All right, people, let's chomp it in. Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, welcome back to the show, wherever in this great world you are, my friends, and however you're listening to the podcast, either streaming it online or downloading it via podcast, I appreciate you and thank you for continuing to listen. I'm going to start with a little bit of Olympics right now again. I know I did my Michael Phelps salute last week. This week, it's... The Rio and Brazilian officials, Ryan Lochte and a couple swimmers got held up by some guys that were posing as Brazilian cops. And they got held up at gunpoint. Not funny. I shouldn't be laughing because they got held up at gunpoint. The funny thing is, apparently a Brazilian judge ordered that the swimmers, including Ryan Lochte, not leave the country because, according to court documents, they wanted them to stay in Rio for 3 days so that they could discuss and give more details as to what happened when they were robbed at gunpoint. Here's the thing. The officials went to the, the Olympic City, the Olympic, someone help me out here. See, this is where I miss Jeff because he would be able to tell me what it is. The Olympic Village. There you go. That's where the athletes stay. And they go in for Lochte, and he's gone. Guess where Lochte is? He's back in the States. He's at home already. So I just think it's pretty crazy that that this happened. And why do you want to keep them there in Rio? Why do you want to have them go and seize their passport so they don't leave anywhere? They've already told you the story. They've already gone through the horror that is the Olympics in Brazil with all of the craziness that is happening down there. And to what? Just so they can tell you the story again, Mr. Judge? I'm not sure what they're doing over there. And I'm not sure what the IOC is allowing now host countries to say whether athletes can leave the country or not after they come in. That is ridiculous. I think the IOC needs to take a look at that. And you know what? Lochte was a victim here, and they were trying to keep him from returning home. I just think that's moronic. Thank you, IOC, and thank you, host Brazil. That is ridiculous. All right, now let's get on to football. And, you know, I can't start actually with football unless I talk about Hard Knocks and what is the craziness that is appearing right before our eyes in HBO. I don't think that Hard Knocks and HBO have decided to come out and particularly show the Los Angeles Rams in a really good light. You know, last week they had the coach cutting a kid for having a woman in his dorm and calling a quarterback on the phone and cutting him over the phone. And then you had Jared Goff, who didn't know whether the sun rose in the east and set in the west. He had no idea. He really wasn't sure, which is ridiculous because that's your number one pick. That's the face of your franchise going forward, the quarterback. He really didn't know that. Ouch. That doesn't say a whole lot about Kel, does it? All right, great institution there, though. Just kidding. All kidding aside, Cal, I'm sure you're a great university, but, you know, when your students leave there, they should probably know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. All right, but besides that, now we've got William Hayes. William Hayes, the big defensive lineman that believes in mermaids. That's right. You heard me right correctly. You heard me correctly, people. He believes in mermaids.
What?
That's right, Miha. He believes in mermaids. But you know what he doesn't believe in? Dinosaurs. And here to tell us just how much he believes in mermaids is none other than head coach Jeff Fisher of the Los Angeles Rams. Are you ready for this one? I hope you are.
Will Hayes absolutely believes and is totally convinced that there are mermaids and they do exist, okay? I remember him getting real excited about the potential for moving out here because he knew that he would be closer to mermaids here on the West Coast.
What?
That's right. He would be closer to mermaids. I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun with this one. Will Hayes was looking forward to leaving St. Louis and coming to Los Angeles because he'd be on the West Coast, closer to mermaids because he'd be closer to the ocean. He truly, really believes there are mermaids. Now, the crazy thing, and Fisher goes on to say, I haven't had the pleasure to hear him talk about the dinosaurs, but the thing is, he does not believe that dinosaurs ever existed. Ever. That was his thing. He's telling the players that, yeah, you know, man, dinosaurs never walked Earth. They never walked Earth. And the people are like, yo, man, how did they find the fossils? What if I was like, he believes that they dug the bones in the ground and then redug them up and like, hey, look, it's dinosaur fossils. Oh, my goodness. Now, he does make a good point. He's like, where are all the dinosaurs in the ocean? Because if there's a big meteor that hits the land and it, made a cloud and there was no sun, that's what killed all the dinosaurs. It's like, what about the ones that live in the water? But what he doesn't understand is that the water would have become so hot from the impact that it would have burned up any dinosaur mosasauruses, if that was ever really a mosasaurus. I think that was just something made up by Jurassic World. They would have died too. So he's convinced since there are no dinosaurs in the ocean, the dinosaurs never existed, but somehow, even though he's never seen one and no one has ever seen one, he does believe in mermaids. So there you go. That's Hard Knocks. That's the best thing that came out of Hard Knocks. I swear to God, that was awesome. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't continue to talk about Hard Knocks. The first game played in Los Angeles after 22 plus years, it kind of opened up like this for the Rams.
For the Cowboys, Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg, will kick off for the Rams. And football is back in Los Angeles for the first time since 1994. Lucky Whitehead dodged some traffic around the 10, and now he's in the clear. Goodbye.
He gone!
The return to Los Angeles, not so lucky for the Rams. Whitehead goes the distance.
There you go. That's how the preseason started for the Los Angeles Rams. First game back in the Coliseum professionally in 22-some years, and they give up an opening kickoff for 101 yards to Lucky Whitehead to give the Dallas Cowboys a 7-0 lead. It was kind of like one of those anticlimactic. Everybody was expecting greatness. You think someone's going to make a big tackle on the first play of the game, and they let him ramble for 101 yards. It was kind of those like sad trombones, like boom, boom, boom. Just very, very sad for the Los Angeles Rams. Well, The good news is, after being down 24-7 at the half to the Dallas Cowboys, in which Dak Prescott played admirably, by the way, I'll go into that in a minute. The Rams, young guys, they kept playing. They kept playing hard. They went in for their coaches. The coaches went in at halftime and said, hey, you know, we stunk it up. Veterans stunk it up in the first half. Now let's see if you young guys can pick it up. And that's exactly what they did. Guys like Spruce and Green and Sean Mannion, that quarterback that's going to be the third string quarterback, may not even make the team, Mannion. But he led them to three touchdowns and gave them a 28-24 win over the Dallas Cowboys. What was amazing about this game was not all of the great plays that were happening on the field. The amazing thing was that it was a preseason game, and there were 50 people shy of 90,000 people in the Coliseum. Let me say that again. 50 people shy of 90,000. There were 89,950 people in the Coliseum, almost 90,000, for a preseason game. That is how much fans in Los Angeles have wanted to see pro football back in LA. It was crazy. I would say it was probably 2/5 Cowboy fans and 3/5 Rams fans, and it was just amazing. Jerseys everywhere. Old Rams jerseys, new Rams jerseys, all kinds of Rams jerseys. It was pretty phenomenal to watch, to take in. They need a lot of work. There's a lot of work to do for the Los Angeles Rams, but they are back, and they're in Los Angeles, and they're here to stay for a very long time. I do believe that. Good stuff there in that preseason game. Some other preseason games that I could talk about. Man, I don't know if I really want to talk about them, but I will because, you know, it's football. And I'll just take a quick gander at the Houston Texans game, just really briefly, because I want to say some things about what happened with the quarterback, Brock Osweiler. Now, this is a guy, the Houston Texans, paid $90 million. That's right. You heard me correctly. $90 million. And although the Texans won the game 24-13 over the San Francisco 49ers, Brock Osweiler came onto the field. He threw 7 passes, completed 4 of them for 27 yards. That's right. 4 completions for 27 yards. You do the math there. It's not very good. He's throwing little dink and dunks passes. Is that really what they paid Osweiler for? He got sacked. He just did not look comfortable. Passes flailing all over the place. I know it's the first game of the preseason, but this is the guy that the Houston Texans paid a whole lot of money to come in and revitalize their offense, and it just didn't happen. They only gave 4 carries to Lamar Miller. He was probably the bright spot because he gained 30 yards on those 4 carries. That was pretty good, and he had a long rush of 14 yards. I don't know what Houston's going to do offensively. I'm not sure Brock Osweiler is the guy, but he better become the guy quickly if the Houston Texans are going to want a shot at that AFC South. He's almost like a fish out of water. And you shouldn't be this late in his career. It's not like he's a first-year guy or a second-year guy. He's been around for a little bit. Learned in Denver behind Peyton Manning. And he should know how to be comfortable in the game. He didn't look comfortable. And, yeah, it's just the preseason. It's very vanilla. And the San Francisco 49ers were getting after him. But he just doesn't look good. I don't think that's going to bode well for the Houston Texans going forward if he does not pick it up. And he does not become the guy that they think they were getting and paid all that money to. It's going to be a very long season for the Houston Texans. How about those Oakland Raiders? Oakland Raider fans, they are excited about Raider Nation right now. 31-10 win over the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. kind of like they just came out, shot out like a cannon, and boom. And, you know, the Raiders, you better watch out for the Oakland Raiders. Look, the Denver Broncos are the defending Super Bowl champions, but come on, they don't have a whole lot going on the offensive side of the ball with Mark Sanchez most likely being the starter come week one. The San Diego Chargers are, well, the San Diego Chargers, they do what they do, and that's about all I can say about the Chargers. Then you have the Kansas City Chiefs, who probably are looking like the strongest group in the bunch. They're returning a bunch of guys. Alex Smith under helm, he will be able to handle that offense again for Andy Reid. And you have the Oakland Raiders, and the Oakland Raiders are an up-and-coming team. They got a lot of young talent, a lot of young players. Murray in the backfield. They got Cooper and Crabtree at the wide receiver position. They got the pretty big tight end in Rosario. And Derek Carr showing that, you know, he could sling the ball around. So their defense can match the intensity of their offense. The Oakland Raiders can finally maybe do something for that organization and maybe bring the term back, commitment to excellence, maybe, just maybe, this year. Another note, the Chicago Bears. The only team to get shut out. 22-0 by the Broncos. Yeah, it's the defending Super Bowl champions, but you're at home. You are at home, and you cannot muster a field goal? You didn't even get that close to try to kick a field goal? Oh, my goodness. That was pretty depressing. If you were a Chicago Bears fan and you watched that game, and, yeah, I know, once again, it's just the preseason, but there was literally nothing to cheer for, nothing to be excited for on the offensive side of the ball. Cutler was, Hoyer, you got him from Houston, throws a pick, receiving, whole lot of nothing. Jeffrey caught one pass for 12 yards, okay, before he sat down. These guys couldn't manage a single point, and what they look like, they look like that scene from Major League. Was it Major League or Bull Durham? It's Bull Durham. And the coach calls all the players in the locker room. He says, you lollygag in and out of the dugout. You lollygag out to the field. You know what you buy? Lollygaggers. Lollygaggers. That's what the Bears were. They were lollygaggers on the field. They didn't look inspired. They looked lost on the football field. And you can't look like that in a preseason game, because it's a preseason game. And if that's how you're looking at when you're practicing, that's what you're going to look like when it comes Sunday and the games count and it's week one of the National Football League and you've got to go out and play another professional team that's going to kick your butt. Sorry for the Chicago Bears fans out there, but, man, that was brutal. That was hard to watch. Final note on the New England Patriots and Jimmy Garoppolo with a 34-22 win over the New Orleans Saints. Maybe the Patriots are going to be okay. Just maybe. Those first 4 weeks, they will be fine. Too early to tell. And speaking of too early to tell, who are these Yahoo media outlet people that are saying there is a quarterback controversy in Dallas? Seriously? Rookie Dak Prescott comes in. He looks great. I'm not going to lie. He looked very good. Only had two incompletions. He went 10 of 12. And those two incompletions, mind you, he hit the tight end, Haynes, right in the hands, and he dropped them. All right? So those really, he should have been 12 for 12. He hit the dude right in the hands twice, and both times he dropped the football. Threw a couple touchdown passes. The one to Terrence Williams was fantastic. The one to Dez, well, that was just Dez being Dez, man. He went up there higher than the defender, caught the ball, and forced it into the end zone. Yeah, he looked good, but the Rams didn't have all of their starters out there on the defensive side of the ball, and it's the first half of preseason. Slow your roll. Seriously? You're trying to tell me that you believe because this guy came in for a first half of a preseason game against a defense that didn't have but half of their starters. I don't even know if they had half of their starters on the football field. And he did great, that he should replace Tony Romo. That's what these media folk are trying to instigate. Yes, I know they want to get clicks. They want people to come to the site and see the site a little bit more. Come on, man. I didn't even, and to be quite honest, I saw those headlines. I did not even click. I didn't even want to go and give them the satisfaction of me looking at whatever nonsense they were going to spew on their website. Come on, man. To tell me that you're going to want Dak Prescott to start the season for the Dallas Cowboys in place of Tony Romo. That, my friends, is probably the biggest ridiculous item this week that's come out of football. And I'm going to go with the redonkulous. But now's redonkulous. Here's my time to really rant. If you thought that was like a mini rant, here comes a full-on rant. If you haven't heard about this yet, you're going to hear about it soon. And that is that the NFL is threatening to suspend four players that were, as I'm going to say, falsely accused, but accused, in an Al Jazeera documentary that these players were involved with PEDs. These players involved were Peyton Manning, James Harrison, Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, and Julius Peppers. Now, Peyton Manning's out of the league. He retired. However, he did work with the league and the NFL, and the NFL cleared him of all doing. The NFL said that, you know, okay, Peyton Manning had nothing to do with this. We get it. He's fine, and, you know, he is fine because he's retired. Peyton Manning didn't have to cooperate with the league. He said, you know what? I'm retired. I have nothing to do. That is a bogus story. The guy who their source was, he came out and said he lied about everything. So, trust me, if it were me and someone was accusing me of something I didn't do and the league, after I retired, said, yeah, you need to come in and talk to us, I'd be like, you know what you could do, league? You could beep, beep. That's exactly what you could do because this dude already said he lied. It's a big fabrication of a story, and you want me to come in and talk to you about someone lying about something that I did? No, not going to happen. And that is exactly what I am ranting on. I am standing up for Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers and James Harrison and defensive end Mike Neal. Mike Neal is not even on a football team right now. He's a free agent, okay? But Matthews is with the Packers as well as Peppers. And Harrison's the linebacker for the Steelers. And then Mike Neal, he's a defensive end, and he's not even on the team. He's a free agent. But these four guys basically are being told by the NFL that each of you will be suspended on Friday, August 26th, if you do not fully participate in an interview with league investigators. Can you believe that? The cojones on this league? The cojones on Roger Goodell and the commissioner? Someone lied to somebody. That somebody then went and ran with a report full of lies. And now all of a sudden the league is coming to those players and saying, you know what? There was this report that said you did some PEDs and we need to talk to you about it. Excuse me? You already know that it is a story built on fabrications. You found nothing that convinced you that Peyton Manning did anything with PEDs or substances or had any contact with this slimy individual who just lied about everybody. And you said, okay, Peyton Manning's good. He's fine. Well, it doesn't really matter. He's retired. Doesn't matter whether you think he's good or not. Now you're telling these four players, if you don't come talk to us about these lies, then you're suspended. Can you give me a break? Are you freaking kidding me with that? Somebody lied about me, and you want me to come in out of my free will to grant you an interview to discuss why somebody would be lying about me. That's exactly what you want. There is no credible evidence that I used or ever possessed PEDs other than some Joe Schmo smuck who told Al Jazeera this information and then later recanted all of that information, said, yeah, I made that all up. And you are threatening to suspend me because I don't want to talk to you about somebody lying about me? That is what the league is doing. So basically, I can go on air tomorrow. I can say I've got this great story about these five players in the NFL that did blow 5 minutes before a football game. Do you think the league would call those players in to find out whether they were high when they were on the football field? Because I, in my, got in front of the world and said, this is the story. And then after a week say, yeah, nah, I just made that all up. I just wanted to see what was going to happen. But the league would still want to talk to these players. Do you understand? Do you feel the pain that these guys got to be thinking? And the NFLPA, they're like got their backs to the wall here. Here's the thing. Yeah, I'm very happy that the CBA was done and football's being played. I love that. But the NFLPA and the players, they gave up too much. You know, they're all complaining about, well, the commissioner, he's the judge, he's the jury, he's the executioner. You all signed up. You signed up for that. You signed off for that. That was in your CBA. You got to live with that now. But the thing is, somebody, and I think this is where the NFLPA has to show its muscle, because so far, the NFLPA has shown zero muscle. Nothing. Like, if I were a player in the league, I'd be like, you know what? Just give me my union dues back. I do not want to be a part of your union because you don't support us. You don't go to bat for us. And if I were D'Amore Smith and the NFLPA, I would go into the NFL's office tomorrow and I would demand to see the commissioner. And I say, I'll be damned if I'm going to let any of these four players be interviewed because somebody lied about them. Period. And if you suspend them, we are going to pull all our players and see how you play football on September 8th. Let's see how you do that. I'm telling you, that's what I would do. And I would just squash it right there. You cannot bring in players to interview because people sell smut and say smack about someone that's not even true. And the biggest thing here is that the man already told you he lied. He went out to the well and said, I made up the whole stuff. That didn't happen. I never even met Peyton Manning. That's not true. But you still want to interview guys and you're threatening suspensions? Ridiculous. That's going to be my word for the whole podcast. This episode is ridiculous. Re-freaking-diculous that the league can have the cojones and stand there with such impunity and say we are going to suspend you if you don't talk to us because we want to hear your side of the story. There is no side of the story. The story was made up. It was complete fabrication. And as a matter of fact, you know what you should do? You should suspend Al Jazeera from ever covering your league again because they took a report from some guy who was just out to make a name for himself. Those reports were false, but they still ran with the story. And now you're trying to hold players accountable. Instead of holding players accountable, you should hold Al Jazeera Network accountable and tell them, you know what? You guys can no longer cover the National Football League. We don't need you. We don't need you. We got so much media. We do not need Al Jazeera Network putting out smutty, fabricated stories about NFL players. That's what the NFL should do. But they will not do that. Instead, they want to punish these four guys. And if I am, you know, well, the Packers really don't have an owner, but the GM for the Packers and the Rooneys for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they need to go step up and come to the commissioner and be like, you know what, this ain't right. You know it's not right. You need to drop it, and you need to drop it now and be over with this. Because that story should have been over weeks ago. The fact that it's still here and now they're threatening suspensions, it really is. I mean, I have no other word for it but ridiculous, ridiculous, and just stupid. All right, I'm going to move on from that. Coach that I have really come to like a ton, Bruce Arians. I'm glad he's all right. Got a scare a couple days ago. The Arizona Cardinals were in San Diego. They're joint practicing with the San Diego Chargers. They're playing against each other this weekend in week two. Bruce Arians was they were just getting ready to start practice. He was out on the practice field, and he started feeling a bad pain in his stomach. He doubled over. He just couldn't take it. The pain was too immense, and he wound up getting taken to a hospital in San Diego, so much so that he needed to spend the night there. He was released this morning, thank goodness, and he spoke to the media before practice today. He said that he was dealing with symptoms associated with diverticulitis. It's a condition which affects the digestive tract. And he's aware, you know, it usually happens with stuff that he eats. He kind of made some jokes about that. But he's feeling better. He says he's going to be okay. I believe him. I'm hopeful that it's not something serious, but he is back and he should be back this weekend as the Arizona Cardinals play the San Diego Chargers in week two of the preseason. But feel better, Coach Arians. Really like what you do. Really like what you're about. Really like how you handle yourself. And I'm glad that everything is all right with you. Okay, time to take a look at some of the games from week two in the preseason. All right, games are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No games on Sunday this week. We'll start Thursday games. Some games to watch out for. In the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia Eagles play the Pittsburgh Steelers. I only point out to this game because the Eagles are going to have to do something to maybe step out their ball game. Look, Philadelphia has got nothing on offense. Really, they cleaned house. DeMarco Murray's got shipped to Tennessee. Seriously, wide receiving core is indescribable. I think they actually made a trade. They traded with Tennessee to acquire wide receiver this week because they're trying to bolster that unit. So I think we're going to find out a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to see what they got as well on the defensive side of the ball because they got crushed by Detroit in week one of the preseason. It was very unlike them. They just didn't look as focused and ready as they needed to be. Another game on Thursday, the Atlanta Falcons travel to Cleveland to play the Browns. Look, it's time for RG3 to put up or shut up, okay? He's got to come out and compete at a good level. He has been in the league far too long to be making some of the stupid mistakes that he made last week against the Green Bay Packers. He's got to stop throwing those picks. He cannot throw balls like that. And the other thing is, oh, for the love of Pete, RG3, stop taking hits like that, man. You got to find a way to avoid getting hit like that. There were a couple times when he got hit where he stood up and he looked like he was physically in pain. He has got to stop doing that or he's not going to last the season. Another game on Thursday night, the Chicago Bears at New England to face the Patriots. I only point this one out because, as I said earlier in the show, Bears looked nasty last week. They looked bad. You know what? They were so bad that I heard this.
It was bad. It had nothing. No fire, no energy, no nothing.
No nothing, man. They had no nothing. And they got to show me something this week. If they cannot show me something this week against the Patriots, it's going to be a long, long year for Chicago. Then on Friday night, if you have NFL Network, they're going to be showing the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Miami Dolphins. Tony Romo is expected to play on Friday. So we'll see if maybe I was defending them too much and maybe Dak Prescott outshines him again. And then there'll really be quarterback controversy. I can't even say that with a straight face. I can't even say that with a straight face. That's just crazy. That's ridiculous there. And then because of Bruce Arians and what we saw, the Arizona Cardinals will play the San Diego Chargers also Friday night. Be good to see how he does there and how he performs with the pressure, of coaching. You know, it's tough to coach in the NFL, and he's a pretty tough guy, but I think he'll be all right. It'll be good to watch that. Then on Saturday, early game, the New York Giants travel to Buffalo to play the Buffalo Bills. And that's Rex Ryan time, too. It's another one that I want to see. What's he doing? I don't know if you guys heard last week. I didn't cover it on the podcast. But Ike Incapoli is the guy who, if you remember, a year ago punched Geno Smith, kind of cold-clocked him and broke Geno's jaw. Geno was out and subsequently lost his job to Ryan Fitzpatrick at the quarterback position. Ike then got released by the Jets, and he was quickly picked up by the Buffalo Bills. Well, 1 year to the day after punching Geno Smith, I got in a fight with a teammate at practice. It was a scuffle, but still he punched the dude again. Apparently this guy doesn't get it. Well, I don't want to say that karma is a blank, but it is. He suffered a torn ACL, and he is out the rest of the season. And to make matters worse, there's a report coming out of Pittsburgh today that the Bills are going to actually release Ike Nkapali and are going to hire someone else. I think linebacker Croy Bierman is going to be added to the depth chart for the Buffalo Bills. And so 1 year and a few days to the day after him breaking Geno Smith's jaw with a sucker punch, he is out of the league with an injury himself. That's just bad. I don't know if I can feel sorry for the guy. He ruined basically somebody else's career, but it's kind of bad that an injury has cost him his job now. So there you go. There's that game. The Buccaneers are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, and people are saying, Steven, why would we care about the Bucs and the Jags, the two teams from Florida who really haven't been really good? But, guys, you might want to take a look at the Bucs and the Jags. These two teams are not going to be as bad as they have been in recent past. Check out Tampa Bay's offense. They got some young studs there that are going to be doing some good stuff. And the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is looking pretty good. I like both of these teams. I'm not saying they're going to go to the playoffs, but I'm saying they're going to be a lot better than they were last year. So that'll be a good game to watch. Then the 49ers take on the Denver Broncos in Denver. One to watch because I think it's time for the 49ers to decide what they're going to do at the quarterback position. You can't go all preseason without knowing who your starter is. And I think Chip Kelly is doing a disservice not only to his football team, but to himself by not picking a starter. You need to find somebody who can run your offense, Chip, and it's got to be soon. Then finally, the second game in Los Angeles in 22-plus years, the Los Angeles Rams will host the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm actually going to try and make it to that game because it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun with the Rams hosting Kansas City. Okay, those are some of the games to watch this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, week two of the preseason. You're going to start to see a little bit more starters getting some playing time. I know the Cowboys are looking to put some starters out there for a couple series that none really played last week until Dez Bryant decided to get on the field and score a touchdown. So there should be some really good action this week two of the NFL preseason. All right. Coming up to our executive producer segment, once again, I'd like to thank Jeremy Barker, who has become the executive producer of NFL Rants and Raves through Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/NFLRNR to become a patron of the show. I would greatly appreciate it. But today we're talking about Chip Kelly, and should he name a starting quarterback now? I said earlier something to ponder. That's because the San Francisco 49ers have signed Christian Ponder to a one-year deal. They have Gabernick. There it is again. Just like I said it last year, coined the phrase Gabernick. And Kaepernick right now isn't playing because of arm fatigue, people. The GM came out today, and he wanted to make sure everyone knew he's not injured. He just has arm fatigue. That's why he didn't play this past weekend against the Houston Texans. Blaine Gabbert's looking so-so. Here's my thing and my problem with the Christian Ponder thing. You already have two guys that you're not sure are your guy, and now you're going to bring in a third guy, Christian Ponder. This guy was a first-round pick, picked 12th overall by the Minnesota Vikings, only lasted a few seasons there. Then was in Oakland in 2015 for a little bit, bounced over to Denver, and now he is here with the San Francisco 49ers. And you got to think that he's probably not going to be the guy either. So what is Chip Kelly doing? I think he, as I said earlier, is doing a disservice to not himself, but the entire team. Who is the guy that we are going to rally around? It is week two of the preseason. We need to start focusing on who's going to be getting all the reps. No more co-first-string quarterbacks. You need one first-string quarterback, and the other guy's going to have to live with it. That's it. That's that, period. Make a decision. Who right now has been the best player for your football team? I think it's probably Gabbert. I don't want it to be Gabbert. I think Kaepernick's mobility is better suited for Chip Kelly's offense. But if he can't get on the field because he has fatigue of the arm, that's right, I'll say it again, fatigue of the arm.
What?
That's apparently what he has. Then you're showing to me that you don't really care. Come on, get in there, ice it down, warm it up, do whatever you have to do. You have got to be on the football field, Colin Kaepernick. You can't be sitting out and not playing preseason games. You got to show this coach that you can run his offense. And if you don't want to do that, go out and play somewhere else or get out of town. That's all I'm saying. Now they've got to bring in Ponder, and I ponder this. Does Chip Kelly actually know what he's doing in the National Football League? He was great at Oregon. University of Oregon was fantastic. They were high tempo. They moved fast. But this was at a university level where the coaches pretty much have complete control of their players, when they practice, how they practice, for how long they practice. This is the National Football League now. You can't do that. You can only practice in pads so much. You can only practice so much period in a week. And for Chip Kelly to want to do this fast, tempoed, get up to the line of scrimmage in 15, 18 seconds and run the next play, you know what? You're going to just run guys out. And all the Philadelphia Eagles players that were there last year are already starting to do it. They said, coach ran us into the ground during practices. We weren't ready. We were never able to get our legs back under us for the next game. So I think the San Francisco 49ers front office has to start thinking to themselves, look, we just brought in Chip Kelly. This is his first year here. How long are we going to get him, give him to bring his offense and do what it needs to do? I'm not sure that he's going to have more than 2 years in San Francisco. If he consistently just runs players to the ground, they don't want to work for him, they don't want to play for him, they don't trust him, and they don't buy into his philosophy, then I'm not sure that anyone is going to buy into that, and Chip Kelly may not be there for long. So there you go. Should he name a starting quarterback now? Yes. Who should it be? Not Ponder. Probably Blaine Gabbert is what it's going to be. I don't like that, but that's what it is. Had another question. If I have an early tip for an unexpected team to make a deep run into the playoffs. Come on, Jeremy. What's up, big dog? It is week two of the preseason. I haven't even started to look at my predictions, which will be coming in a couple weeks. Let me take a look at that before I make my predictions. But I'll tell you what, if you look at the AFC, I would say you should take a deep look at the Oakland Raiders. And it's not a joke. I think the Oakland Raiders can do some damage. I think this is the year that the Buffalo Bills step up and do some damage. And I say that because if they don't, Rex might not ever coach again in the NFL. Then also in the AFC side of the ball, you might see a resurgence of the Indianapolis Colts. I think they're going to be back to compete for that division again this year. That's it. Deep runs. I would put my money on the Colts making a deep run in the playoffs this year. And I just think that, you know, a healthy Andrew Luck does a lot for that organization. All right, before I leave you, I'm going to leave you with this. The Giants kicker, Josh Brown, was suspended. And at first, nobody knew why he was suspended, because he was only suspended for one game. So you're thinking to yourself, one game suspension, not bad. He'll miss the season opener against the Dallas Cowboys on September 11th. He'll be all right. He'll be back and everything's good. Now, no one really knew why Josh Brown was suspended. And it was kind of like a question mark. It was, why? Why is this happening? Well, NJ.com, which is a New Jersey, True Jersey newspaper, Star Ledger, a reporter, James Cratch, came up with this. He says that they were able to obtain some documents that in 2015, Brown was arrested on May 22nd of 2015 for fourth-degree domestic violence charge. And the charge is a misdemeanor, according to the report. Now, status of the charge is unclear. We don't know what legal action is taken. But we do know that Brown was arrested, and he was booked into jail and released on $2,000 bond. Here's the thing. In a time where the league is being ultra sensitive with domestic violence stuff, how did this one go under the radar for an entire year? Over a year. Because we're in August already, and it's just now happening. My understanding, in a statement released by Brown, is that he's gone through the whole appeals process. This is the decision that was given to him, and he's going to accept it. We have a report that he quarreled with the victim, grabbed the victim's wrist while she was picking up a phone, and that when police got there, she had a cut on her wrist, and there was redness that looked like a cut from a fingernail on her wrist. And there was some domestic violence happening there. He was arrested, released on bond. He went through this whole process with the NFL. Other players are getting put on leave, right? Paid leave is what the commissioner was calling it. Something like that, a paid leave, not allowed to play. He not only played all of last year, he was getting ready to play all this year. He's not been suspended at all. He's not sat down while his legal action takes course. This is the league. How can they do this? What is their justification to how come one player gets put on paid leave and is asked not to be around his club while he takes care of his legal matters, but Brown, because he's a kicker? I don't know. Why did he not get suspended? Why did he not get, hey, go take care of your legal action, then come back and play football when that's all taken care of? If this is true, if this report by James Cratch of NJ Advanced Media for NJ.com, if it's true and Brown has been going through the legal process and appeal process with the NFL for a case in which he was involved with domestic violence, the league is not doing a good job of doing and saying what it said it was going to do once the whole Ray Rice thing happened. Because Brown shouldn't have been on the football field last year. I don't care if he's a kicker. And, you know, I'm not even throwing the race. I'm not saying Josh Brown is white. I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what position you play. It doesn't matter who you play for. It doesn't matter what you do. If you're involved in a case with domestic violence, you shouldn't be on the football field, period, until legal action takes its course. And so it's a little – I don't want to say that the NFL covered this up, but we sure didn't hear about it until now. And it's not like they really told us why they suspended. This guy had to go do the research for himself and say, hey, this is why he got suspended. One game. And then just one game for violating the personal conduct policy. Now, let me say, we're not clear that this is why he's getting the suspension. But if it's not the reason he's getting the suspension, shouldn't it be? I mean, he was arrested, released. There's a victim. The case is still open. Why is he playing in the National Football League if they have rules that, what, it was 4 games for the first offense, 10 games for the second offense, and then you're out of the league? Very interesting. Very interesting there. The National Football League is right now, this week, it is riding a very slippery slope of who's in command. Goodell has all kinds of power. He picks and chooses who he wants to come after. And this is another case that players can point to and say, hey, look at the kicker for the Giants. He got arrested for domestic violence and nothing happened to him. One game, really? So I'm sure that this story, this is the tip of the iceberg. This story is going to come out and people are going to start questioning the league as to why he wasn't suspended last year. Folks, thank you very much for listening. If you're not following on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, get on it, people. Go to www.nflrnr.com to find all my Twitter handles, social media handles for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Once again, thanks for listening. Week 2 is here, and then it'll be one big week. Week 3, I might even make predictions week 3 because it's going to be the first real week. Players play for almost a full half, maybe even three quarters. And then week 4 of the preseason, that's when I make my prediction show because nobody cares about week 4 of the preseason. The bunch of guys that aren't going to be on the team the following Monday. But that's all the time we have this time. Thank you for listening. I'm Stephen Miranda, and you've been listening for NFL Rants and Raves. I'm out.